And I have that song, and I liked it so much I went and found it. So here it is. Was I right? That is one. My goodness. Can you imagine me being in my car listening to that song? Sheesh. I almost had to put the car over. It was so good. That song, and being able to find it on, you know, on YouTube and prepare it for you. Oh, my goodness. Well, this morning, I want us to take a look. But I'm going to give you a little story first about a veteran. This veteran, there was a news report about an Army veteran named John Crabtree. He had been wounded in Vietnam and was now receiving disability benefits from the government. One day, out of the blue, he received an official notice from the government that said he was deceased. That would be kind of a hard thing to get when you're alive. Needless to say, this was quite a shock to him. Mr. Crabtree wrote to the government a letter stating that he was indeed very much alive and would like to continue receiving his benefits. The letter did not go very good. He then tried calling the government. Have you ever tried calling our government? This requires the patience of Job and the persistence of Noah. The phone call didn't change the situation either. Finally, as a last resort, the veteran contacted the local television station, which ran a human interest story about his plot. During the interview, the reporter asked him, "What do you feel about this whole ordeal?" And the veteran chuckled and said, at least he could still chuckle, and said, "Well, I feel a little frustrated by it. After all, have you ever tried to prove that you're alive?" That is a little hard. So, happy Veterans Day to all of our alive veterans and their families. So I thought I kind of liked that one. So now, turn with me to Psalms 37. Psalms 37, verses 1 through 11. Psalms 37, verses 1 through 11. If I have to entitle this message any, I will entitle it, "Are We Targets for Fear or Blessing?" And let's read it and find out what the Lord says. Psalms 37, verse 1, it says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of a man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." My goodness, that's a good thing. And it kind of helps us. And helps us understand where we are today. Now, I want to say something about terrorists. And I want to ask you this morning, do you feel, first of all, let's describe what a terrorist. What is a major target of terrorist activity? And I believe the major target of any terrorist activity is to establish a spirit of fear within a group of people. If they can establish a fear, they can control the people. If they can get so much fear in you that you're afraid to even move, they can control you, they can motivate you their way, and they could actually kill you. That's what a terrorist does. That's why our government is so much against terrorism and acts of terror, because it is not right. Right? Do you agree with me? But I have something to tell you that will encourage you this morning. It says, But God has six answers to repel all evil. And I want to go through those this morning with you. Number one, if you take a look at verse 1 and 2, and I'm going to be walking out of the Amplified with you and kind of talking out of the Amplified. But number one, the very first thing we have to understand, what was God's reply to evildoers? And I like it. It says, do not fear because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the grass herb. I will tell you this morning, fretting will get you nowhere. Worrying will get you nowhere but ulcers. Right? Okay? So just out there worrying that what's going on or this can't happen, that can't happen, it's going to get you nowhere. And it speaks to me of an annoyance or just a nuisance type of feeling about a situation. It's an annoyance and it's a nuisance when we have fear or we are worried about something or fretting. I like that word, fretting. The Lord says, don't even give evildoers the place of a nuisance within your lives. He goes on to say, don't even envy their power of influence over you. And that's exactly what they try to do. They try to get power over you to make you do what they want you to do. And if they can do that, that can control you and control your life. And God says, don't even give them the time of day. When things go wrong or something's happening, it's nothing more than the evildoer. Who is the evildoer? Satan. You know, it's not those poor fellows out there that they're being used by Satan, right? God says, abhor evil. That means don't agree with it or the things of evil. I believe the sin that is being done, abhor that. But pray for the person. Sometimes they don't know what they're doing. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Because a lot of times they don't understand what they're doing. They're not being led by their own actions. They're being led by satanic forces. What are we fighting today? Are we fighting people? Are we fighting? No. Principality? We're fighting the evil that is around this world. That's what we need to go against. And that's what Jesus, and that's what God was saying right there. You know, the reason he treats their efforts in this way is because whatever they do is only temporary. Does that make sense? So don't fret about or envy about the power of that evildoer because their time is limited. So God, that's his reply to evildoers. The second part of that is trust in the Lord and do good. This is found in verse 3 of that. And verse 3 says, trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord, and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and feed surely on his faithfulness, and truly you shall be fed. Trust in the Lord. What usually happens when something catastrophic takes place? What happens? They what? They do blame God sometimes. But let's go to the other direction. That's the evildoers. Now let's go to the good direction of a lot of times what takes place. Unity. Let's take an example of 9/11. That was a devastating, catastrophic event that took place in America, right? But the devil made it out to be evil. What did God do? He flipped that around. It drew people more closer to God and into this United States than it ever has done in years past. I'm sorry to say it didn't last, but it did draw us under the understanding there is a God out there. You know, and something catastrophic takes place. Usually it brings people together and it brings them into a better faith in God. Does that make sense? Things happen. So that's why God is saying, you know, do good, do good, do good. When something takes place, and, you know, look around you. Every day something is going on in our world. Is that right? There's rumors of wars, which there's no rumors. There are actual wars out there. There are earthquakes. There is flooding. You know, come on. There are fires. There are tornadoes. There are, come on, somebody help me. What else? What else is going on in this lovely world that we live in? Huh? Hunger. How could there be hunger in a world that is so, and let's get out of the world. Let's go to America. Let's just get to our own nation that is supposed to be such a nation that has dropped out hunger. What's going on? There's hunger in America. Come on. Are there people that are homeless in America? Now, some want to be, but not all. There's a lot of people out there that are homeless because that's what's happened to them. The movie we just got finished watching. Do You Believe? What was the name of that movie? Do You Believe? And it showed a homeless family, right? Mother and her daughter, homeless. In America. In America. There's homeless. Homelessness. Okay, what else? Just this past week, what do we had a lot of? Not here in Nevada, but in other parts of our nation. Flooding. Flooding. I saw pictures of trucks that was all that was left of the truck was a hood. That's flooding. So we have natural disasters. But I've also seen some wonderful things. The last two hurricanes we have, churches came together. You know, Joel Osteen was talking about what that earth, the hurricane they had over in his area, and half his church went and helped the area. Come on. That helps pull the people together. People of God. So what is God says, trust in the Lord. Trust in me and do good. Do good. Let's go on. Delight yourself in the Lord is found in verse 4. And it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. I love that one. You know, how many of you want certain desires that you have? So how many of you have little things that you've been thinking about, I would really like this? A desire of your heart that's there that has not been fulfilled yet. God says, trust in me, love me, and I will give you. What's he say? Okay, is there a reason why that's not up? There you go. The desires and secret petitions of your heart. What is God telling you there? What is God telling you there? If you will love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your spirit, then he will desires. See, and understand what he means by this. There's a lot of Christians out there that are seeking some of their desires of their heart. Really, it's not it's the desires of their, what's the word I want to use? Ego, carnal, selfish, ambitious. That's really not the desire of the heart. God changes the desire of your heart when you do that. Delight yourself in the Lord. When you turn around and delight yourself in the Lord, He turns around and gives you the petitions of your heart. Because then your petitions actually become heartfelt and not gut felt. Is that okay? So he says, delight yourself in me. Love me. Show your love. Why do we have song service? What? To show our love. And I'm sorry to say, it's so difficult for me. And I'm probably difficult for you ladies too, and I'm going this route. It's so difficult for me to say that when we're having worship service, people are sleeping or in their own little world instead of entering in. We have song service to help you enter in. Okay? Delight yourself in the Lord. Does that? You know? Delight yourself in the Lord. You have 6 days the devil's going to try to knock you down, tear you apart, or you go into your own little world. 6 days. You have one day that where you come into the house of the Lord and you need to lift him up. And I'll tell you something, that if you will lift the Lord up and delight yourself in the Lord, he will honor that, and you will make the rest of those 6 days a blessing instead of a curse. A delightful point, a blessing instead of fear. There's a lot of things in this world that can cause fear. Okay? And what counteracts fear is blessing. God wants to bless you. The devil wants to throw fear at you. So what do you got to do? Delight yourself. If I get nothing else done in the service today, but to get you to understand that. I'll tell you something, and I'll give you an example of my life. My life wasn't so good. I had a loving family, but my whole family died when I was 18 years old. I didn't have it so good, and I could have got a lot worse. Okay? But God. That's all I can say. But God. I met this little lady driving a customized Riviera, pearl scallops, driving Tweedy Boulevard, that enhanced my point of view of beauty. And it wasn't the car. And it took me two months to finally get a date with that wonderful lady. And guess what our first date was? Come on, you young people, listen to me. Our first date was to go to church. Now, I wasn't a church boy. So to take my first date to go to church was a little on the odd side. And it wasn't a Baptist or a First Christian Church of the Dead. This was Brother Boulder's church, Assemblies of God church. And I tell you something, I felt I could hide away. I felt, get us to the highest point and the farthest back point, and I'll be fine. So I got us to the balcony of this church, and that's a good place to hide, I thought. But the choir, that's why I want a choir so badly. The choir started coming down down both sides and singing under the power of God. And I got a little uneasy. And it was the presence of God. The best thing that you can do is let the power of God show through. It might scare a few sinners, but it might just scare them into God. Because I couldn't stop going back. I wanted to go. Right? Every Sunday we went to church. Every Wednesday I think we found something. You know, she dragged me. She dragged me to church all the time until I got saved. And then I dragged her. You couldn't keep me out of church. I wanted a church where I could clap my hands. I wanted a church where I could feel the presence of God. That's what's wrong today, and that's what's killing the churches today, is we don't feel the presence of God. We need to feel His presence. And if you don't, you're going to lose out on God. That's why it's so important. Delight yourself in the Lord. There's so many Christians today that just sit there and get nothing from God. And they walk out the same as they walked in. And the 6 more days of hell they got to deal with. And they're not getting fed on the one day that they have. Get fed. Delight yourself in the Lord. Psalms 1:3 says, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its seasons, whose leaf shall also not wither. And whatever he does, ooh, I like this. Whatever you do, shall prosper. Our church needs to be like a flowing river. Have you ever been down when the river's flowing good? I understand right now our rivers aren't flowing so good. You know, Truckee River, it's usually gushing waters. You got to watch yourself because you can get killed. Used to. Now you could probably walk across any part of that lovely river. But when the river's at its height or at its peak, the Colorado River is an excellent example of rushing river. Trinity River is a good example. And we had youth groups that we took to Trinity River for summer camp. Oh my goodness, was that an awesome camp. And what would be good was every day we would take them to the Trinity River and float down the river. That's a mighty rushing river. And that's what I think a church needs to be. It needs to have the flowing of a river that is constantly moving, constantly doing something. How many of you ever been through a place that is controlled or doesn't have a way to flow? It just that's there. And it gets what? Stagnant. There's no movement. It's stinky. It's smelly. It's algae growing all over it. Okay? There is no, you know, there's life with algae, but there's no true life within it. But there's no life. It goes stagnant. I don't want the church of God. And I'm not talking about this building or even us. I'm talking about you. Because guess what? You're the church. Okay? This is no more than a building. This building could burn up and it would not be the church. The church is every one of you. You are the church. Now, you need to realize that. You need to understand it. When you walk out this door, you take the church in you with you. When you meet people, you take the church in you with you. You are the living example of everybody out there that sees you. This is a very sinful and bad world out there, and you are the example. And how you live your example means everything to a dying world that is going to hell. You have the ability to win souls to the Lord, or you have the ability to say, I don't have to do nothing. And you can sit back and be a cesspool, stagnant, non-living creature. And I will tell you this, and I'm getting a little harsh, but I will tell you this, if you don't produce, God curses. What did he do? God, and before I think it was a week during the week that he was, right before he was crucified, he passed a fig tree, him and his disciples. He was hungry that morning. This fig tree really wasn't ready to produce fruit, but he didn't care. He passed this fruit tree, this fig tree. It had no fruit on it. He looked at that fig tree and he cursed that fig tree. You shall never produce again. Well, the disciples didn't think anything of it until later on they came back and the tree had dried up. Withered and dried up. Do you understand? This should be giving you a thought pattern. that if you don't produce, I never want the Lord to turn around and look at me and say, because you don't produce, wither up and die. I don't want that. And I don't want it of any Christian. You need to be producing. You need to be on that field evangelizing. What did I talk about last week? It's evangelism. I talked about that we need to get back to God and doing what we can do for God. Okay? You are either subject to fear or you're subject to a blessing. If you have fear in your life or in your heart, you are no good. And I'm going to say it flat out. You are no good to God. Because you fear about doing anything. You're afraid to testify. You're afraid to worship. You're afraid to praise God. And in that fear, you'll fall into a little withering hole and become a cesspool. Whew, I'm sorry. God's just doing something different today. We need to get back into this flowing river and to let the praises go up and the blessings come down. In the process, blessings we haven't even thought of will begin to take place. Do you understand that? When the praises go up, the blessings come down. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. Even blessings you didn't think were even possible, God said he'll give you. Even the secret petitions and the desires of your heart that you think will never take place, he said he'll give them to you. Do you know that's how much God loves you? That's how much God loves and desires to do things for his children. And you are his children. You are his children. I will also say this today. We need to pray for our president. Oh, golly, do we. And every person, even down to the pencil and paper pusher, with our prayers and our faith that they will make right decisions. There's a lot of decisions out there that are being not made correctly. We need to pray for our neighbors and our friends and our loved ones, for God's salvation and blessings in their lives. We also need to stand and be the people of God that he called us to be. Not a church filled with fear, but a church filled with faith. A church filled with love. A church filled with power. That's what we need. How do we get there? How do we get there? Thank you. That's the answer I was looking for. By delighting ourselves in the Lord. God will gladly inhabit any church that will truly begin to praise and worship him. Do you get that? God will inhabit that church. If we... Amen! What will cause him not to inhabit? What will cause him to leave a church? When the praise and the worship leaves, God leaves. Yeah. He inhabits the praises. Yeah. That does. He will. Amen. Amen. Are you listening to this? Listen. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. But then that praise and worship that we receive here must go beyond our four walls and delight ourselves with God's creation, the lost people of this world, praying for them. Do you understand? All those people out there are God's creation. You might say, well, I know a few of them that I don't think are. No, I'm sorry to tell you, they are. Every one of them is God's creation. Now, what they've done with that creation sometimes is not good. Understand, Satan is still the prince of what? This air. Jesus has changed that when he came and died on the cross and lives at the right height of God right now in the power side of God. That's where he's at. So he stands in interference on a defense for you and I on a continual basis. So when Satan tries to come at you and cause all kinds of harm, God is always there to protect and guide you and be with you. Because why? Because we are God's creation. You are God's creation. Everyone in this world, and I don't know, what is it, billions of people live in this world now? Everyone, whatever it is, the amount of people that's in this world, are God's creation. Now, if you can look at it that way, it might change your perspective on people out there. It might say, well, that's a sinner. I don't have... No, that's a sinner that needs God's love because God created them. Hallelujah! Okay? Yes, they're a sinner. Yes, they can have a lot of evil in them. Yes, they can be demon-possessed. Yes, all these things can go wrong and be that way. But they're still God's creation. And because it's God's creation, we're commanded by God to pray for them. Okay? And some will sow, some will reap. You might go pray for them and ask for prayer, or might just befriend them and be their friend and show your Christian walk to them. They're going to see something different. And if they don't see something different in you, you better get back down on your hands and knees and pray that God gives you that difference. Amen? Because he can give you that difference. And if there's a difference in you, and you walk to some sinner, some evildoer, some demon-possessed person, and you show that light, did you know every demon in hell, they knew Jesus? When Jesus walked up to him and said, Jesus, O Son of God, what are you going to do to me? These were demons and people saying that. Why did they say it? Because they knew Jesus. Now, who lives in you? If he lives in you, then every demon in hell is going to know who you are. Amen? And you should have the power that when you feel that presence, come against him in the name of Jesus. Silence that devil in the name of Jesus. I was in a church in Ronnerville. I had a demon walk in the back door. Person, demon-possessed person, walked in that back door that was going to cause confusion in the church. He walked straight up to me because what he wanted to do is take me out. This is the demon. A demon-possessed person wanted to take me out. And I felt it. And I said, church, begin to pray. And I looked him straight to the eyes. And that's what you have to do to Satan. Look him straight in the eyes. And don't do this unless you have the power of God behind you. Because if you don't have the power of God behind you, even the disciples got beat up. Because they didn't understand the power of God. I looked that person, demon-possessed person, I says, in the name of Jesus, shut up and get out of here. He looked at me, tried to say something. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood against you. I know who you are. And he started to back up. Backed up. I mean, he didn't turn around and walk away. He kept his eye on me, and I kept my eye on him. He backed up right to the door, opened the door, and left. Now, my board members, because we have cars out there, ran out to see where he was. He was nowhere to be found. Gone. So don't tell me. By the way, we had a tremendous revival after that. God just moved miraculously, but it was the devil wanted to disrupt that church. And that church had enough of its own problems. Rondeville had a lot of problems. But I will tell you this, with all the problems it had, it also had the power of God. Oh my goodness. That church grew from 20 people to 125 in less than a year. Because it was just letting God go. Letting God do what God wanted to do. So I'm telling you, that's what we need to do. We need to get back to what God wants us to do. You know? It's a great thing to shout and praise the Lord, but it's even greater to extend God's hands of love by extending our own hands to people that are lost and wandering in a world of chaos and fear. Only partial blessings come from within these walls, but an unending supply awaits us when we destroy the walls and go forth with a message of what God has given us. I'm going to close there. Next week, commit your ways to the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do you see what we got going? Next week's going to be great, but I just feel like this is enough. You know, cease from anger and forsake wrath. And then there are promises that if we follow all that, there's promises that He has given us. I want to end it with, and I'll probably end it next week with the same thing. Go to the last verse, which is 2 Timothy 1:17. Read this with me. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if there's fear in your life over anything, you need to realize it's not God. God doesn't give, present, or produce fear in His people, but of power and of love and of what? Some of us need that one. Do you understand? God has not given us the spirit of fear. But I will tell you, we are targets. We're targets for fear. But we're also targets for a blessing. We can either let the blessings that come from God come and move us in His direction, or we can let fear come and put us into a cowardly position and become a cesspool. Stagnant, without hope, without delight, without anything. Do you understand? I mean, I don't normally preach this way, but God has directed this pathway because I want to instruct you. If I get nothing else done in this walk that I'm walking, I want to teach you to begin to praise and delight yourself in the Lord. Some of you feel like there is no delight in you at all. And that delight, if there is no delight in you, then the devil has the ability to walk in and snatch what little delight you have and put a fearful attitude in you. Okay? Or another avenue is to make you just complacent and not desiring to get closer to God. There are Christians out there that are like that. I deal with them every day. Oh, I believe in the Lord, but I don't go to church. You know, and I said, well, that's okay. Church doesn't make you anyway. You know? How's your relationship? What are you talking about? Your relationship with the Lord. Oh, I guess it's okay. No, it's not okay. Because if you had a true relationship with the Lord, you'd want to be with God's people. Mm-hmm. You want to have communion with God's people. You want to delight yourself like God's people should. Please, think on what I have said today. Because I believe this is from the anointing of the Holy Spirit that has directed me to help you. Let's delight in the Lord. And He will give you the secrets, petitions you have in your heart. He will pour blessings on you you didn't even know were there, if you will just delight yourself in the Lord. This song, I think you'll enjoy. I'm going to take you to Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir one more time. And listen.
God is a faithful God. He's a powerful God. Amen. He deserves all glory, all honor, all of our praise. He even deserves our lives. God gave his son Jesus. He sent him down. He sacrificed his life for us. It's an example that we are to sacrifice our lives for him and simply say yes. Amen. Let's say yes to Jesus this afternoon.
Yes.
I'll just say yes.
Oh God.
You lead the way.
Lord, lead the way.
I'm not afraid of what it means
for
me
to
say.
That's all he wants for you to say.
This life you gave is not my own.
Don't turn God off.
I'm trusting you to hear my yes and lead me on.
I'm not afraid of what it means to be.
Yes. That's commitment. Commit your life to the Lord. Say yes to Him. Say yes to Him. Sharon, close us in prayer.